We're going to be in Ephesians chapter 5. Now, before I start, I need to say thank you to all of you for your prayers and support. Even before we were saved, people here praying for us, and I'm thankful for that. So I just want you to know that we are thankful for the time we've had here and the blessing you've been to us. And I just needed to say that before I forgot. Oh, otherwise I would have forgot. Okay, so we're in Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to read from verse 22. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject under Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I do thank you for this morning. I thank you, Lord, for the glorious weather we have. Lord, we thank you that we can meet in church this morning, Lord. I thank you that we haven't got limitations, dear Lord, to the ability to sing, Lord, that we can lift up our voice, Lord, and give praise, Lord, for what you've done, for your work, Lord, for who you are. I thank you, dear Lord, for your word, and I pray that you'd help this morning, Lord, to open our ears and our eyes, Lord, to some truths, Lord, that are here. I pray, Lord, you'd help me. If there's something, Lord, that I've thought to say, Lord, that's not necessary, Lord, that you would just clear that from my mind. And Lord, if there's something I've missed, Lord, that you would bring it to remembrance, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. My question for you this morning is, how much do you love yourself? How much do you love yourself? And when I ask this question, I'm not interested in helping you to be infatuated with yourself, okay? Infatuated with yourself, like the world would have you to be. I don't intend you to idolize yourself. But the question really comes from our text this morning in verse 28. It says, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. The question is really directed to a husband, us husbands. And it's because it is directed to the husband to love his wife. Marriage is a beautiful thing, and marriage was instituted by the Lord in the Garden of Eden. Marriage is when a man leaves his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they too shall be one flesh. And so Tia and I are one flesh, and those of you that are married are one flesh with your spouse. Now, when we are one flesh, often when my wife is joyful, I am joyful. And when my wife is hurting, I'm hurting. And we find that some men take that to the extreme. And when their wife has morning sickness, they too are sick. And I've even heard of men that have had labor pains when their wife is giving birth. Now, we might laugh at that, and we might really dismiss that as something trivial. But, and some might use that in to, you know, have opportunity to tease that man. I probably would have done that years ago in the past, and I may still at times. But could it be that this man and this woman were so closely connected that he went through what she was going through? Could it be that he asked the Lord to know what his wife was going through? And the Lord said, here's some pain. Here's some pain. Those of that have been married for any length of time can testify that they can start and finish each other's sentences. And one spouse knows what the other spouse is thinking. Could it not be when the relationship is so tightly bound that they also know each other's pains? When they have spent so much time together, and when they bear each other's burdens, that they physically sense that weight of the burden. That they physically sense that. That a husband and a wife are of one mind and of one accord, that everything that one experiences, the other experiences. Now, the church is to be like that. The church is to be of one mind and of one accord. Philippians 2, 1 to 5 says, If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And Romans chapter 12 and verse 15 and 16 says, rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind, one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. And I believe the principal teaching of the parable in Luke 15 of the sheep, the coin, and the prodigal son is that, you know, we should be rejoicing with one another. The Pharisees should have been rejoicing with God that over the conversion of a sinner. And if we are of the same mind, one toward another, of one mind and one accord, and we are bearing each other's burdens, we too will weep with them that weep and rejoice with them that rejoice. And that really comes down to the question then, how well do you know your wife? Or wives, how well do you know your husbands? Brethren, how well do we know each other? To know each other well takes, and to be at the point that you are of one mind toward each other, is going to take time. It's not something that happens when you shake their hand for the first time. Is it Brother Pike that says you have to eat a bag of salt? Yep. Brother Pike says you don't know someone until you've eaten a bag of salt with them. How big's the bag, Pastor? It's big? 25-kilo bag of salt? That'd take you some time to get through. Unfortunately, Tia and I know a number of couples, that were married around the same time of us within a couple of years either side, that are no longer together. And I think in most cases, it was because they had stopped spending time with each other. they either got busy focusing on work or focusing on a new activity that they wanted to do. And so they stopped spending so much time together, and they grew apart, as such, as some would say. They grew apart. I don't know if you've heard of SPS, spinning plate syndrome. Spinning plate syndrome. Now, most of you have seen at some stage where somebody spins a plate on a broomstick or something like that, and they grab another broomstick and another plate. And they keep adding plates, and they got to run around and keep the plates from spinning so they don't stop wobbling. They keep going. And they add more and they add more, and they're running around until they have too many plates and they can't get back to the plate before it drops. Well, SPS is when you have too many plates, you can't look after them all. Okay? Spinning plate syndrome. In our lives, these plates can be anything that take our time. They can be work. They can be our wife. They can be our children, ministry, outreach, other people. And we have to try and keep these plates spinning. The Lord gives us these plates to look after, to keep spinning. And I think it's been to the detriment of the testimony of the church that some husbands have not spent enough time with their wives. They have too many plates. Maybe their wife has too many plates, and that's why they're not spending time together. And they don't get back, and the spinning plate wobbles. It's dropping. The marriage is collapsing. They're too busy focusing on a different plate. And because of this, men that could have been pastors, men that could have been used of the Lord, their future ministry is destroyed. Even some pastors have neglected their wives too much. They've gotten busy with ministry, and other things have preoccupied them. And because of that, they often lose their family. They lose their ministry because of that, and it's to the detriment of the church, really. But with God's grace, obviously, you know, if He gives us a certain number of plates, He's going to give us the grace to handle those plates, unless we're adding plates against His will. But we need to discern if we're neglecting a plate. Husbands, are you neglecting your wife? Now, we can relate this not just to marriage, but any relationship, any horizontal relationship that's between a father and a child, between siblings, between friends. You know, if we don't spend time with that person, if we don't manage that relationship and maintain that relationship, it crumbles. Relationships take work. Relationships take work. And those of us who are saved have a vertical relationship that we must maintain. That is with God. We must spend time with Him if we are to maintain that relationship. When we partake in Lord's Supper, we must examine ourselves, all right? And if there has been no communion with God there, then we cannot have communion, if that makes sense. If there is no fellowship this way, if there's no communion this way, then we should be abstaining from communion. But I want to draw your attention back to marriage particularly, because I think it'll be more profitable to look at this relationship this morning because of the importance in each of our lives. There is an element that is missing in most families, even Christian homes. And that element is love. It's love. And, you know, I'm not talking about worldly love. I'm not talking about a selfish love. I'm talking about a real Christ-centered love. And it's what's missing in most families. Marriage is such a beautiful picture of the things to come with the marriage of the bride of Christ to the Lamb of God. And if we go back into our text this morning, if you haven't closed your Bibles, and we look in verse 22, we'll start there, that it is for the wife to submit to her own husband. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Now, why is it that they are to submit? Why is it to wives that are to submit to their husbands? Well, we find the answer really in verse 23. It's because he is the head of the wife. He is the head. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. And straight away, we should realize here that a husband is really the picture of Christ. Us husbands picture Christ, and so she is to submit to her husband as the church is to submit to Christ. A body of believers are to submit to Christ. We desire that here at Grace, to be Christ is our head, and that we just are guided by him. And the wives are to submit to their husbands. Her submission to her own husband bears witness to the blessed relationship of Christ and the church. The church's submission to Christ. It's just a beautiful picture of a wife submitting to the husband and the church submitting to Christ. Now, what if a husband is unsaved? Is she to submit? Well, 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 and 2 says, Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of their wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. Now, the word conversation there isn't talking about our words, it's talking about our behavior, how we live. So the saved wife is supposed to live godly and chaste, that she might win her unsaved husband just by her actions, by submitting to her husband. Therefore, as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. So we have here the duty of the wife in submission, but what of us husbands? Well, verse 25 reads, husbands, love your wives. Husbands, love your wives. So as the wife is given a commandment, so too is the husband. Husbands, do you love your wives? Husbands, do you love your wives? And then you may ask, how should I love my wife? Is there an example to follow? And praise the Lord gives us the answer right here in the same verse. It's where the commandment is given, husband, love your wife, husbands, love your wives, we have the example of Christ. Verse 25, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So Christ is our example of how to love our wife. The wife pictures the church, submits to her head, the husband, who pictures Christ, who gave himself for the church. Husbands, do you give yourself like Christ gave himself? That's pretty hard to do, isn't it? To give yourself like Christ gave himself, that cuts a little deep for me. I look at myself and I say, oh, I don't love my wife like I should. I don't come anywhere close. God's love is immeasurable. It is without height and without depth. It's without breadth. It's without width. My love is always going to look like a leaky tap to his vast ocean. But yet we have here the perfect example to follow. Something to strive for in our lives. The example which we are to strive for. He left the glory of heaven and he came not to minister. He came to minister, not to be ministered unto. Okay? Christ came as a servant. So I just want to have a look in this section now from verse 25 to 27. There's three parts to Christ's love here, as we see. Okay? As I see in here. The first is that there's a past love. Okay? Verse 25 says, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Past tense. It's a past action. It is love which action has passed. Okay, the evidence of this love remains. The offering of this love remains. It's a continuing love, but that action in which he gave himself is past. He is not continuing to give himself. 1 Peter 3:18 says, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Hebrews 9:26-28. For then he must often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ once offered So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Ephesians 5:2, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savour. 1 Timothy 2:5-6, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all. He gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Titus 2:14, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Hebrews 9:14, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Amen. He gave himself. Christ gave himself on the cross of Calvary. The action of this love is complete. The payment has been made. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And at the cross of Calvary, Christ gave himself for each and every person. He bore the sins of all. Now, it is a past love. He gave himself. But it's also a present love. Because the love of God is eternal, it's also present. Ephesians 5:26 says that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water of the word. And because it's an eternal love, it's also a future love. Verse 27, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church. That's future. It's going to going to happen one day, I hope soon. He's going to present himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Christ is our example that he gave himself. And so husbands, are you giving yourself? Are you giving yourself? Paul continues to write here to the Ephesians to help give them more understanding, I think, to what that means practically. He says in verses 28 and 29, "So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hateth his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church." When I read that phrase in the middle there, "He that loveth his wife loveth himself," the thing that comes to mind is love your neighbor as yourself. That's the first thing that popped into my head. And we have a beautiful example of that in Luke chapter 10. And if you turn there, you'll know the story, the parable of the Good Samaritan. A certain lawyer stood up and tempted, saying, "Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" That's verse 25. He answers the Lord. Verse 28, Jesus says, "Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live." But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, "Who is my neighbor? Who is my neighbor?" And Jesus answering said, "A certain man went down to Jerusalem, to Jericho, and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him, and passed on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. And he went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host, and said unto him, 'Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee.' Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves?" And he said, "He that showed mercy on him." Then Jesus said unto him, "Go and do thou likewise." We see that the Samaritan here laid down his own life, really. He sacrificed some of his things for the man that fell among the thieves. He bound up his wounds. He probably tore his garments to do that, sacrificing his garments. He sacrificed oil and wine. He sacrificed his own beast, him having to walk the way. He took care of him, sacrificed his time. He paid the owner of the inn 2 pence. He emptied his pocket. It was sacrifice. And Christ gave himself. He sacrificed himself. And husbands, are you making sacrifices for your wife? Are you sacrificing for your wife? So often, I think, is the fleshly nature so bound that we think of ourselves too much. We think solely of ourselves. We stop thinking of others. We stop thinking of our neighbor. We stop thinking of our friends. We stop thinking of our siblings. We stop thinking of our children or parents. and think too much of ourselves. Husbands, love your wife as your own bodies. Now, I forgot my watch. I don't know the time, but I'm going to finish up in a second. So I want to leave you with one last thought, and that is of Christ, because he is the perfect example. And in Philippians chapter 2, if we turn there, Philippians chapter 2 and verses, we'll read from verse 5. Says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Husbands, you need to think like Christ, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Have you taken on the form of a servant recently? Have you served your wife? Have you been a help to her? And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. We see here again, Christ gave himself. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. You know, it's Christ is our perfect example. How well are we reflecting Christ? Particularly husbands. This is particularly for husbands, but this is for everyone. You know, as a Christian, if you professed Christ as your Savior, then you should be reflecting Christ more and more. Work of sanctification in your life. How well are you reflecting Christ? All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, you know I need much help with this. And Lord, I'm sure that all of us will say that we need much help, Lord, to love our wives more than we do. Lord, to love each other more than we do. Lord, to esteem others better than ourselves. Lord, we pray that you would work in our hearts this. Give us grace, Lord, to discern whether the plate is wobbling. And Lord, if it needs attention, Lord, I pray that you would help us, Lord, to be of one mind and one accord, so close with our spouses, so close with our brethren that we know each other. We feel for each other. We rejoice with each other. Lord, I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.